that there's consequences, and life might become uncomfortable. If you want to promote a genocide, yeah, life might become uncomfortable for you for a while. You might not be able to have the easy stroll down the street without people, you know, condemning your promotion of a Holocaust in Gaza. Like, sorry, I mean, if you want to, you know, go on a solidarity trip, which Julie did 2 weeks ago to Israel, that her word, solidarity trip to Israel, after they killed 30,000, 14,000 children in Gaza, like, sorry, yeah, you might, you know, get people who don't think that's a great thing and might bug you when you're on the street. Like, yes, then that's, you know, you have to know, you put that into your calculation, you know? So you know, that's democracy. It's not always like, you know, it can be annoying. It can be troubling even in some ways, but that's people holding politicians accountable. So the guy did a great job. It was a, you know, major success. We should be doing this much more, not just on the street. We should be doing it when they hold press conferences. We should be doing it when they have fundraisers. We should be doing it when they want to, you know, go speak at whatever campus. You know, everything from just asking tough questions and videoing it and sharing it and embarrassing them to drowning them out with genocide Jolie chants. So definitely, this is a very important small act of personal activism that this person did, and we need a lot more of it.
Eve, you're going to be, before we go, can you reiterate your schedule, at least an overview of the book tour? Yeah, very quickly.
Yeah, I just did a bunch of things. I got one coming up in Kingston and one in Montreal. But then in June 8th to 15th, I'll be in the Vancouver area and on the island. Hopefully there should be three or four events at least on the island and one or two in Vancouver.
And eveangler.com, you've got a bunch of new articles up I'm looking at right here. The one we were sort of getting to was Gaza, the final nail in Canada as honest broker coffin. Not sure if we got totally to that, but go to Eve's site to read all about it. Thanks a lot for coming on again, Eve.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And do stay tuned because I'll be back with Jeremy Kuzmarov after the break. And we're going to talk a little bit about goings on south of the border with the CIA and a new counterterrorism, or an old counterterrorism czar in a new position at the National Endowment for Democracy. Thanks again, Eve.
Their message always to everybody through all their advertising, all their PR, everything is, we are your friends. And it's like, no, you are not our friends. Friends are not people whose bottom line is how much profit they can make out of you. It is completely different.
Guerrilla Radio, knowing who our real friends are since 1999.
We're running out of time to put out a fire.
This is genocide. It is not a war. It is a slaughter in a ghetto by the shore. A ghetto with no arm. A ghetto with no ports. A ghetto under the jurisdiction of the military courts. Of an occupying power with the target everyone. Killing them with bombs and chemicals and guns. Using famine and disease as our lives go on. Just across the seas, the occupying army is imposing starvation on everyone in Gaza of every stage. Parents or children, people anywhere, they're being killed because they're still living there. This is genocide. It's happening now. The Western politicians talk about how they must stop the bombing and let in aid. But the murder continues with American aid. Missiles and jets with zero regard as the buildings collapse like houses of cards. This is genocide. Whether or not the media moles have decided they've got elections to cover or any number of things more worthy than what is happening in Gaza, where they're facing 2 million dead. That's what the heads of the UN departments all said. This is genocide. And if you disagree, there's a phrase to describe your idiocy. Those who see and then look away. Those those leaders who talk, but at the end of the day, the hunger, the bombs falling down from the sky, is a Holocaust that they would rather deny. This is genocide.
Well, welcome back to the program, Jeremy.
Thanks again for having me.
Well, it's always my pleasure. You know that. Well, before getting to the illustrious Mr. Zarate, just Jeremy, who and what is the NED?
The National Endowment for Democracy, or NED, is a CIA offshoot that was founded in 1983 to promote propaganda and finance opposition and dissident movements in countries targeted by the United States for regime change. It usually celebrates the bravery of political prisoners and victims' alleged human rights abuses in countries the U.S. targets for regime change, or geopolitical rivals like Russia, China, Cuba, or Venezuela. But it's silent regarding human rights abuses committed by U.S. allies. So like in Ukraine, you know, they'll document Russian human rights violations in the war, but not Ukrainian ones.
Yeah, and there's that famous quote that and I'm just paraphrasing, but something to the effect of that the NED does overtly what the CIA used to do covertly, or something to that effect.
Exactly. Yeah, that is a quote. Yeah.
Well, and so what is the significance of this new appointment, this Zarate guy, considering his resume and past provenance?
Well, I mean, I think it's business as usual for the NED. If you look at their board of directors, they have many people like this who served in the government, who are you know, public writers whose writings are show a clear double standard, like what I was saying. I mean, I think Ann Applebaum is one of their board members, and she's notorious, neoconservative, writing for the Washington Post about how promoting regime change in Russia and how horrible Russia is. But she'll never comment on anything bad about Ukraine, even though they banned 12 political parties and were hunting down dissidents in Russia and assassinating them and running a mafia-style assassination campaign. That somehow doesn't qualify as a human rights abuse. And their mass torture in Ukrainian prisons, and American Gonzalo Lira was tortured to death, and somehow that doesn't register for them. So, Zarate just fits the norm. He served in the Bush administration. He was a hardline, counterterrorism czar who supported huge human rights abuses like extraordinary rendition, enhanced interrogation, expansion of mass surveillance in the Patriot Act, drone strikes. And he criticized Obama for having the audacity to want to close Guantanamo Bay, which, of course, something many voters wanted. And Obama never delivered on that. But Zarate attacked Obama from the right. How dare he close Guantanamo Bay, even though it's a monstrosity that the UN is, there was a recent UN report where UN delegates visited there and reported on inhumane and cruel conditions in the prison. But somehow, Zarate had no problem with that, and he supports, he's now part of this organization that touts itself as this great champion of human rights, and yet you have this guy who's dismissing a UN report that points to systemic human rights abuses and cruelties. So it's complete hypocrisy, but that's what we've come to expect from U.S. government agencies these days and from the CIA and its cutouts.
Well, and in his off time, out of government, Zarate published a book, and you've got this in your article. It's called Treasury's War, The Unleashing of a New Era of Financial Warfare. Does that indicate that I'm wondering if his appointment now is a precursor or an indication of a direction that the administration, the Biden administration plans to, or whoever is going to be inheriting the Biden administration in November, the direction that the State Department, who bankrolls the NED ultimately, is going to go.
Well, yeah, I mean, the NED, yeah, I mean, that's part of their double standard on human rights. They have nothing to say about the sanctions policy. You know, Zarate was a key architect and helped to administer sanctions policy. And in memoir, or book he wrote, he was kind of gloating about the hardship. He's like happy that the sanctions, oh yeah, they worked. You know, North Korea, the population bordered on starvation in some areas, and the economy, you know, and Iran, you know, it hurt their oil industry, and Iranian are really suffering. And he's happy about that. I mean, it deliberately imposing, you know, cruelty on people, and it has no effect. I mean, the goal is to try and induce regime change, is not turn the people against their government. They blame outsiders for causing their own hardship, and it's caused severe hardship in a lot of the countries it's been applied. And it's really a cruel policy. It's seen that way among those, you know, people. It breeds hatred toward the United States, and it doesn't even serve U.S. foreign policy objectives. But he's so proud of this, and, you know, this is a human rights violation. When you're like the Cuba embargo, as he support, I mean, it's caused near starvation of people, and had horrendous consequences, or sanctions in Syria, a war-ravaged country. And that's a human rights abuse when you're depriving people food and access to medicine, who are already in war environments. It can cause the death of many people from treatable illnesses or from malnutrition, or, you know, they're not healthy, they're not having adequate diets, and you're contributing to that. It's a huge human rights abuse, but National Endowment for Democracy doesn't recognize that. In fact, they champion that because they're ideologues there, and their goal is regime change in Russia, and any government that challenges U.S. global hegemony, they want that regime overthrown. And their former head for many years, Carl Gershman, was a neoconservative ideologue who championed regime change and some of the worst crimes against humanity of the post-war era, like the war in Iraq, that he was a key champion of, and the Bush Freedom Agenda, they call it, which was clearly an imperialistic agenda that caused huge devastation worldwide. And NED was a cheerleader for that, and Carl Gershman.
Of course, it's a big success. It's mission accomplished, all of this hardship that you describe. And it reminds of Madeleine Albright saying, well, it was worth it ultimately that 500,000 Iraqi children should starve to death because of sanctions, or starve or die for lack of medicines, etc.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's maybe one of the worst cases, but that reflects the mentality of these government officials. That they're happy that children are dying. You know, she admitted more people died than in Hiroshima, and that's a cruel policy that's been applied in a more ravaged country like Syria. I did I watched a webinar about that where Syrians discussed how terrible the just horrible effects of the sanctions compounding the horrible effects of the war that they experienced. And even when there was an earthquake, you know, aid couldn't get in because of sanctions. Right. And it's the same, you know, country like, you know, so many countries. I mean, these are, you know, poor countries. I mean, the United States is a rich country, and they want to do that to poor people. I mean, where is the compassion? It's disgusting. I mean, it's all I can say.
Well, and the kind of intertwined nature of the people operating in Washington, D.C. is also featured in your article when you say that although Zarate, his main time in government was with the Bush administration and the Republicans, he's also worked as a film consultant for McClarty Associates, which are actually connected to the Democratic hierarchy. Could you explain who McClarty is and what is this sort of bipartisan nexus of business consultancies?
Yeah, and I think this should deserve more attention of people. This is like a Kissinger and Associates type organization that was set up by Thomas Mack McClarty, Bill Clinton's chief of staff, and an old friend of Clinton going back to Arkansas day when he, you know, they were close friends. And when Clinton was the governor, he was the head of the Arkansas Natural Gas Company. And I know that there were a lot of scandals associated with that company when he was the head. So he was not an ethical business leader. They were gouging consumers, and the pollution going on. So a corrupt business. And then, you know, after he worked in the White House, he sets up this company, I guess, that provides advice to help companies gain market entry in foreign countries. And they have a lot of former CIA and, you know, State Department people on their board or employees. And then they have a film division, rather curious, that seems to try and influence Hollywood film studios. And McLarty, it may be a front for the CIA, because the CIA tries to subtly influence Hollywood film and use it as propaganda, where people don't think it's propaganda. And the CIA even has its own agency, and they may be operating through McLarty Associates. Mac McLarty was a close associate of Jackson and Whit Stevens, who had deep CIA connections and set up these data companies that were used for intelligence monitoring of bank transactions and possibly huge money laundering operations. So I believe this is a CIA front and CIA operation to manipulate the film industry. And they actually brag about this film, The Interview, where the CIA, and it's supposed to be heroic, that the CIA tries to assassinate North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. And North Korean thought the film was appalling. And imagine there was a film in another country about an intelligence service that goes to assassinate the American president. I don't think that would be well received by Americans or American government. So, but many perceive that as a propaganda film that supported U.S. objective of regime change in North Korea. And McLarty Associates' connection with that film, again, adds further suspicion that it's some kind of CIA operation. And that would make sense. If Zarate is affiliated with that, and then he's appointed NED. NED is an offshoot of the CIA and continued its work of promoting disinformation and propaganda and subversion in foreign countries the U.S. government targets for regime change.
Well, we can agree, though, that The Interview was a hilarious film.
I didn't find it funny
no?
at all.
Okay, fair enough. Well, but that's not all. There's more. We see now, and in your article again, and the article is at covertactionmagazine.com. It's Jeremy's piece, CIA Cutout Appoints Counterterrorism Czar Who Supported Massive Human Rights Abuses. That's Juan Zarate. Friends of all kinds of nefarious operators that have a covert links. And here I see a photograph of none other than John Negroponte. Because that guy never get old, or is that just a really old photograph? He must be approaching 90 by now. But do you want to explain the significance of Mr. Negroponte and his background?
Well, again, that raises suspicion that this is some kind of CIA operation. You know, he oversaw CIA Death Squad, the U.S. ambassador to Honduras in the 1980s, and then again as Iraq in the 2000s. I know he's worked with Kissinger and Associates. This McLarty Associates seem to be modeled after Kissinger Associates. They're very high-level government connections there, and it seems that it could be a front for intelligence operations, including manipulating Hollywood films. And, you know, he's known in some circles as like a Prince of Darkness type guy. And, you know, his daughter was convicted of murder. And, you know, there's a dark side in his family. Although I actually met him once and he was very friendly at a conference. I found him to be personally very friendly, but I don't agree with his political views or actions.
Well, you wouldn't expect the devil to be anything other than charming, would you?
I guess so, yeah.
Well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm speaking today with Jeremy Kuzmarov. Jeremy is a journalist and an author. He also serves as the managing editor at CAM, that is covertactionmagazine.com. His book titles include Obama's Unending Wars, The Russians Are Coming Again, written with John Marciano, and his latest is Warmonger, How Clinton's Malign Foreign Policy Launched the U.S. Trajectory from Bush 2 to Biden. Again, we're talking around his recent article. Jeremy, I see that CAM is running its spring fundraiser. Do you want to describe that before I forget to bring it up?
Yeah, well, we're just trying to raise money for the Covert Action Magazine, continue, you know, independent investigative journalism. And so please, you know, support us. If you can subscribe to the magazine for $25 or $50, we'd really appreciate it. Goes a long way for us. And you'd get, you know, a weekly newsletter. And hopefully soon we're developing a system where subscribers will get, you know, a T-shirt or some added benefit, you know, things like that. Small thing in the future, and you're keeping us alive and able to provide critical analysis, which is really lacking in most of the mainstream and even alternative media. Rarely casts a spotlight on the organization like the NED and their manipulating, you know, influence. So we feel Covert Action has a very important mission to try and better inform people about United States intelligence agencies and how they manipulate public opinion and carry out nefarious activity that are not in the interest of the American people, let alone the people of targeted countries.
Well, and Covert Action is also like an OG in the original gangster for this kind of publishing. Do you want to briefly describe the genesis of the organization, its previous incarnation leading to what it is today?
Sure. The Covert Action magazine was founded in the 1970s by CIA whistleblower Philip Agee. He worked in South America, and he was very, you know, he grew up in the 40s and 50s. He was very patriotic. But when, you know, he realized he was doing the dirty work of global corporation and capitalism and working for the CIA, and he was doing all kinds of illegal things that went against his morality and his conscience. So he left the agency and wrote a tell-all book inside the company, and he wanted to publicly expose CIA corruption and abuse of power and illegal activities. And the original magazine had a naming names column where they outed CIA agents because Agee felt that that was imperative, that they were violating U.S. Constitution and the law, and they had betrayed their country, although he was presented as a traitor, although there was never evidence that he had any support from any foreign powers at all. But he argued that the people working for the CIA had betrayed their country by violating the law and carrying out illegal activity in a foreign country that also caused ill will toward the United States, and that's not a good way to run a foreign policy.
Well, and the for your spring fundraiser, the tagline is "Blow the whistle on U.S. imperialism." Are you encouraging people to send you guys documents a la WikiLeaks, as we've seen how that worked out for Julian Assange?
We're not WikiLeaks. We're a magazine that publishes articles. We provide critical analysis. Sometimes there are articles that draw on usually declassified documents. If whistleblowers have classified documents, I mean, we have to be careful, but I think we could, you know, I'm not a lawyer, so anytime we're given classified documents, I have to go over it with a lawyer, but yeah, sometimes that's very important. If whistleblowers are coming forward with, you know, damning information, we want to encourage that, because the American people and people around the world have a right to know what the U.S. government is doing and what any government is doing, particularly if they're doing illegal things and they have no rational basis for doing that. And unfortunately, we've seen that go on for decades now. Illegality and criminality that's bringing the whole world down. It's just benefiting a narrow elite over everybody else. So people have to expose that and work to for change in government policy.
And how, in the last minute or so that we've got, Jeremy, how has the, if it has, the Julian Assange case dragging on yet in the United Kingdom for his extradition to the U.S. How does it affect the way you guys operate, or does it?
Well, I mean, it underscores, the importance of the kind of work Julian was doing to shine a light in dark places and to expose the truth and to expose corrupt practices and hypocrisy. And if he's not around, others have to pick up the torch, number one. Number two, it showed who you're up against. You're up against fascist-type elements who don't want the truth revealed, who are crooked, who are immoral, and they're going to try and bury truth tellers. So, you know, that's the environment now for any journalist. And, I mean, you know, we need to mobilize together. We can't allow a small, venal elite to, you know, get away with what they're doing and to suppress the truth and to suppress good people who want to, you know, want a decent policy to come about. So I think Assange is an inspiration in, for our work, and again, underscores the viciousness of the people we're up against.
Yeah, and Mr. Zarate is a great example of that. You write that he helped sow misery as a chief architect of modern financial warfare, and criticized Barack Obama for probably one of the only positive things that he tried to do, or I don't know how hard he tried to do, but in closing down Guantanamo Bay.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, and again, it goes to show the kind of extremists and ghouls. Yeah, and they might be, you know, they kind of have a nice face, and maybe if you meet them in person, they're friendly, but there's something dark in them that they would advocate for these kind of policy. I mean, they're horrific tortures at Guantanamo Bay. I mean, one day that'll be a museum or at least a testament to human barbarism. Much like, you know, you can visit museums about atrocities that occur in other countries. It'll be a museum on display how these captives were horrifically tortured. Some were children. A lot of them were just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Some may have been actual terrorists, but they're still entitled to due process under the law. I mean, it's just eviscerating the rule of law, which is a pathway to a lawless society in general, and that's what we're increasingly seeing. So it's just wrong on so many levels, and so you have to wonder how could somebody with an education, I mean, this guy is well-educated, I forget where he went to law school, but how could somebody, he's a Harvard Law School graduate, how could somebody who's well-educated support the return to human barbarism and evisceration of the rule of law and doing away with the rights of prisoner? Because we'd expect that any prisoner, even a murderer, has certain rights not to be tortured and brutalized in prison, but that's not the case with Guantanamo Bay. So I don't know what's going on with these people, but you have the same phenomenon in oppressive governments, you know, throughout history, including Nazi Germany, where seemingly normal or decent or educated people supported barbaric atrocities against the Jews. You know, sadly, we're seeing, you know, various forms of that. And I don't know, there are people out there with a dark soul, but we don't want those people in our government and with power.
Yeah, well, clearly, and what's old is new again, if we just have to look at what's going on in Gaza, and speaking of the evisceration of international law. Exactly. Jeremy Kuzmar, thanks a lot for coming on. CovertActionMagazine.com to find more of Jeremy's work, and it is prolific, and there's a bunch of other contributors as well. Thanks for coming on and sharing a little bit of your work with us today, Jeremy.
My pleasure, anytime.
And I also want to thank Eve Angler and... I say that's all I got for this week. Until the next time. Thanks again, Jeremy.
Okay, thank you, Chris. We'll talk to you soon.
Moscow, Tokyo, New York. Guerrilla Radio is everywhere. At guerrilla-radio.com. Everywhere, all the time.
Chicago. Jakarta. Helsinki. Cape Town. Sao Paulo. Manchester. Bangalore. And somewhere in
Inkle. collaboration with the Nova Scotia Cooperative Council and supported by Desjardins, Cooperatives and Mutuals Canada is honored to host the annual CMC Congress June 11 to 13th at the Halifax Convention Center in Nova Scotia. Under this year's theme of Navigating Change Together, join us for thought-provoking plenaries and participate in interactive workshops and breakout sessions. To learn more or register, please visit www.canada.coop now.